I titled this service, this sermon, 23 and Me. 23 and Me. How many knows what I'm talking about? No? It's like 23 and Me. You know the test that you can do where you spit in a bottle and they tell you who you are, right? It's your genealogy. That's called 23 and Me. We'll talk more about it. All righty. Romans chapter 8. He says, for as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Father God, I pray, Lord, today, God, I pray for insight and revelation from the throne room of heaven. God, I pray that this is more than a sermon. I pray that it's life that comes from your throne into our hearts. God, let us sink, Lord, deep into the reality of who we are in you. God, I pray today for revelation for each and every person in this place. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would permeate this place and our minds. Lord, you said that we could be transformed, that our minds could be transformed and renewed by the washing of the word of God. I pray today, give us a mind washing today, Father. Lord, let us have newness of life in our minds and in our hearts. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in you. You are my rock and my savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was at Thanksgiving with my kids, and my brother was there also, which is very unusual. And most of you know my past, and when my mom was 6 months pregnant with me, my parents divorced, so I've only met my biological father one time. And my brother is quite a tease, and he's always teased me that I had a different father, because he and I look totally opposite. He's blonde hair, blue eyed, and tall, and I'm short and squatty, and my thinness got pushed out a little bit. Dark hair, dark eyed, and balding. So we don't look very much alike. So he's always teased me, and my daughter-in-law, she said, Eric, I'm going to order you that test, that genealogy test of 23. And she did. She got it for me for a Christmas present. So I spit in the little jar and I've sent it off. I haven't heard word yet. But I'll tell you who I am in this world when I get it. Who knows what I really am. But I want you to know that's big business today. The test, that 23andMe, it's huge. I mean, it's sweeping the world across this world. It's millions and millions of dollars of business. You know why? Because people are trying to figure out who they are. And I got news for you. The world doesn't identify you. Jesus identifies you. And that's why this portion of Scripture is so great, because he tells us who we are in Christ. I'm telling you, if there's good news of the gospel, it's the passage of scriptures that I just read to you, who you are in the Lord. He says, for as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That scares some people. You know why? Because they say, I'm not sure that I'm led. I'm not sure that the Spirit of God has led me. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith it's impossible to please God. For if you have to have faith to come to God, right? You have to have faith to pray. So this verse is really saying it's impossible to please God without faith. But if you're saved, you have faith. If you believe that there's a God in heaven that listens to you, that is faith. Well, this portion of scriptures, for as many are as led by the Spirit of God, you're the sons of God. Really what this is saying is if you're saved, you've been led by the Spirit of God. You're not smart enough to figure this thing out on your own. You didn't choose him, he chose you. You see, before you got saved, the Spirit of God was moving in your heart and drawing you to Christ. Bless God, you're going to have to get excited today. I'm going to need a little help. I'm come to tell you, you are led by the Spirit of God. Whether you know it, whether you feel it, just take it by faith. The Spirit of the Lord, if you say, if I ask you today, are you born again? And you said, absolutely, I'm born again. Then you're led by the Spirit of God. You know, one of my favorite verses, a couple years ago, the Lord just began to dump this thing in me. And it's in John chapter 1, verse 12. He says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the power, the authority to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. But as many as received him, that's an important word right there. Have you received Christ? You know, Romans chapter 10 says, if you believe, now see, we have a bit of a problem with this because the Greek's word for believe is a little different than our word for believe. You see, our word for believe just means mentally I accept that as fact. There's lots of people in the church, lots of people across this world that mentally accept that Jesus really is the Son of God, but they're not saved. What does it mean then? The word believe, when the Greeks use it, it's pisteo, P-I-S-T-E-O, I believe. And it means this, not only mental acceptance, but enough that I will obey. You cannot take the word obey out of this word believe. If you do, you get something abnormal. So believe means to accept it, to trust it, but to obey it. See, the kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of this world. We have to obey what Jesus taught us. So John chapter 1, let's go back there. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, for as many as received him, I received him as Savior and Lord. I trust him enough that I will do what he tells me to do. I don't walk according to the kingdom of this world anymore. I receive Jesus as my Savior. And therefore, I have become a son of God. Man, that's exciting. I'm telling you, there's no more good news than that. You're a son of God because the scripture says, if I'm a son, I'm an heir, a joint heir with Jesus. The Spirit of God is leading us to believe in Jesus for salvation, which gives us the right to become the sons of God. In John chapter 10, he says, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Get this, folks. We have a promise in God's word that as Christians, the Bible, all through the Bible, he calls us sheep, the sheep of his pasture. Read Psalms 100. We're the sheep of God's pasture. That's not really a compliment. Sheep are probably some of the dumbest animals there are in this world. But he says, we are sheep and we hear his voice. Now, folks, there's many people that don't believe that you can hear God's voice. And you need to settle this. Settle it in your mind. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you feel. What matters is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says his sheep hear his voice. So if his Word says it, then I just trust it. I just trust that I hear him. But it also says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. I don't have to feel it. I believe it. I receive it. You know, here's the thought that was going through my mind a lot over the last 2 weeks as I've studied this passage. Many Christians treat Jesus like Santa Claus in the sky. And they're thinking that he is looking for those who have been naughty and nice. And I got news for you. Please listen to this. Naughty and nice doesn't really come into play. You don't get to heaven because you're nice, and you don't go to hell because you're naughty. You go to heaven because you're a son of God, and you go to hell because you're not. Are you getting this? The Word of God is taking your performance out. And he's saying, it's by grace you're saved. It's by grace that I'm going to work in your life. It's by grace you're a child of God. Man, that's powerful. So glad you got that. So we have a promise as God's sheep that we hear his voice. How do we hear his voice? By and large, we hear his voice by his word. Because God's word is his voice to us. John 16, verse 13, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He tells us in this scripture, one of the ways he speaks to us is by bearing witness with our spirit. You see, God doesn't speak as much to your intellect as he does to your spirit. It's by revelation. You know things are true. God speaks. He says he's a spirit and you're a spirit. You have a spirit inside of you, and God speaks spirit to spirit, leading you and guiding you. I can remember when we were first married, we was actually on our honeymoon, and we come out of this place, and there was two girls that had locked their keys in their car. And this is back years ago when you could take a clothes hanger, and these girls were trying to get this car unlocked and with no success. So I walked over and offered my help, being the 19-year-old genius that I was. And I worked on that thing for a few minutes, and I mean, I was getting nowhere. But then it clicked in my spirit, and I said, you guys are believers. And both of them girls said, well, yes, we are. How did I know that? My spirit bore witness with their spirit. You see that? Have you ever met anybody you just knew they were Christian? My spirit's bearing witness with, that's how the Lord works. And I said, you know, we're both believers. Let's just pray. And I said, Lord, I'm having no success here. I need your help. Will you help me? I put that thing back in there, reached down, grabbed it, and pulled it up. Bam. I mean, like 20 seconds, it was done. Why didn't I pray 20 minutes earlier? Thank God. God speaks to us through internal impressions. Rarely does God speak to us through an audible voice. But many times you just know in your spirit, right? You know, and I like to say it this way. I just know in my knower, right? I know in my knower that this is the right thing to do. That's an internal impression. And then also the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our helper. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, right? He's come alongside. Jesus said, I've got to go, but I'm sending one just like me. In John 14, 16, it says, I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, and he may abide with you forever. And then verse 18 says this, I will not leave you orphans. You know, one of the things that is plaguing our world today is fatherlessness. And I got news for you. You're not fatherless as a believer. You have a Father in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for that. So scripture says in here, he says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again. Did you see the word again? In other words, you were born with that spirit. We were born with the spirit of bondage that led us to fear, and fear has torment, right? Fear stops you in your tracks. Fear limits your ability to make good decisions. Now, fear will motivate you to make decisions, but they won't be good decisions, right? Can I just preach to you? I think you've got you. Let's just talk, you and me. He says, you not received the spirit of bondage. See, when you got saved, God changed your nature. He took the spirit of bondage away and he gave you spirit of life. Right? We just studied that earlier in the chapter. Thank the Lord for that. In 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. Anybody need to say that about 1,000 times to themselves? Thank you, Lord Jesus. I have a sound mind in Christ. I'll say what He says about me. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. And who is love? God describes Himself by saying, I am love. He said, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Thank the Lord, He has delivered us from the spirit of bondage, but then He says He has taken us somewhere. Did you get it? You're not going to have the spirit of bondage again, but now the Lord has given you the spirit of adoption. Oh man, this is good. Listen to this. Adoption is an unselfish, unconditional love to perpetuate your name, to pour yourself into someone else, and to leave your inheritance. The child is granted full rights and privileges. One of the privileges is calling that man who adopted you, Dad. You see, in our family, our oldest son and daughter-in-law has adopted two little girls, two precious little girls, Madeline and what's her name? Maren. I always forget that kid's name. Shame on me. Hail Mary, full of grace, Father. Precious, precious kids. And there's three things I want you to get this. When my kids adopted these little girls, they were looking for someone just to pour themselves into. Just to love them. You know, a child gives you nothing back. I mean, at first especially, just nothing. It's the probably the most unselfish love that we have in this world is the love that we have for our kids. What I want you to get today is that's God's love to you. You see, the Bible says that God's not given you the spirit of bondage again. He's delivered us from that. But He's given us the spirit of adoption. Why? Because, one, He wanted to perpetuate His name. In other words, He wanted His name to continue on this earth. Do you know we're known by His name? We are called what? Christians. Do you know what Christ means? It means the anointed of God. Do you realize every time you say, I'm a Christian, you're saying, I am anointed by God? Wow, just get that in your mind. What a great confession. So He wants to continue His name on the earth. So therefore, He adopted us. He adopted us when we had nothing to offer Him. When we were hateful to Him, we were enemies of the cross. We didn't consider Jesus. We didn't think that He was anything to gain. But He came to us. He drew us to Himself. And He said, I want to adopt you. I want to change your life. I want to pull you out of misery and set your feet on the rock. I love the fact that in this world I was fatherless, but in the spiritual world I have a daddy in heaven, praise the Lord. Number two, God wants to pour Himself into you. You see, I sort of see it like a glass of water. And the more God pours Himself into me, the water that was already there has to come out. In other words, Eric has to leave the glass so that the Spirit of God can come in. The more he pours in, the more Eric leaves. And if you knew the old Eric, you'd say, praise God for that. Well, you're no better than I am, right? Thank God for His touch in our life. And you, come on, this doesn't stop at salvation. It started at salvation. Jesus today is trying to pour something into you so that the old you leaves and expelled. Why? Because the only way we're going to change this world is letting Jesus shine through us. I have nothing to offer to you or anyone else except for Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm so excited that you're excited. The third thing is we get an inheritance. You know, you talk to Christians, most Christians says, yes, I'm so thankful for my inheritance. One day I'm going to live on streets of gold. I'm going to go to heaven. I got news for you. Heaven's not your inheritance. Heaven is your eternal home. See, you're not thinking about it correctly. You don't get your inheritance when you die. You get your inheritance when someone else dies. When my mom died, I got a bit of inheritance. I didn't have to die to get it. My mom died, I got the inheritance. Everything she had worked for. I pray Jesus reveal this. You see, too many of us think that heaven's all we got waiting on us. I got news for you. Jesus wants to change your life so immensely. He wants to give you an inheritance right here and right now. So that he wants you to be his poster child on this earth. He wants everyone to look at you and think, man, I knew that guy years ago. He is different. He is something else now. I don't know what's happened to him, but he sure is different than when we used to run around together. Well, that's Jesus in you. Scripture says that we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. You know, I've talked to a few ladies, and they have a problem with this thing of being a son of God. A lot of them will change this, and they'll say, well, we're sons and daughters. That's not what the word says. You're a son of God. Now, maybe we have male sons and female sons. I'm not really for sure. But if you go back in the custom of the day, you'll find that this is brilliant, and you'll readily accept it. Because listen to me, daughters didn't get an inheritance. Sons did. Oh, come on. You guys got to wake up. He doesn't leave you out, ladies. He says, my sons and my daughters are going to receive an inheritance. Therefore, I call you my son. In the line of inheritance, we're all equal. God will pour out his spirit upon your sons and your daughters, right? Joel said that in the Old Testament. God doesn't recognize the sex of your life. He don't care. He's looking for availability. He's looking for you to say, I receive you as God. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Now, whatever you can do with me, you do it, Lord. Now, one of my favorite scriptures, you know, I always have to stop and say that. One of my favorite scriptures is this. It's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Listen to this. He says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers. Now, this is not talking about when you die. This is talking about here and now. Today, you have been made a partaker of the divine nature. Whose divine nature? God's divine nature. Having escaped the corruption. How many people would say the world is corrupt? Amen. Politics is just a reflection of the true world. Right? Politics is not more corrupt than the rest of the world. It's all corrupt. Having escaped the corruption that it's in the world through lust. Do you realize that's part of your inheritance? Part of the inheritance of God is that he has allowed us to be partakers of the divine nature of God. Are you getting that? Therefore, I don't have to settle for what I have here right now. You see, intellectually, there's only so far I can go. I have limits, and they're not real high. My education level has limited me. My finances limit me. Everything in this life limits me. Not having a dad limits me in life. But there's one thing that blows the lid off my limitations. Him. The fact that he says, son, I'm going to make you a partaker of my nature. Now you start praying. You start living like you are limitless. There's no limit any longer. The only limit that we have as believers is your mind. What's going to limit you? You know, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, he said, I will do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power, what? That works in you. What's the power that works in us? It's the divine nature of God. It's not your ability. It's God's ability in you. Man, that's, I'll shout for you. Praise the Lord. I got a funeral to preach this afternoon. I may just preach this funeral. We may just believe for that lady to come out of that coffin. No, we wouldn't do that. She's 99 and in the presence of God. If you read this passage closely, you're going to see there's one condition. Did you see it? There's one condition to this. He says, if you're willing to suffer with him. What does that mean? What does it mean to suffer with God? Just being a believer today qualifies you as suffering, because we are swimming against the nature of society, the current. When you identify yourself as a believer, you have a target set on your back. And I used to say it's a target by Satan, but now I believe it's the target of the world and Satan. See, just the fact that we say, I believe him, I believe this, I believe that book. See, I believe every word in that book. And you know, if I tell people that I believe that book, I believe what it says, you know what some people think? Well, you're an idiot. The foolishness will confound the wise. Folks, I'm telling you, I don't think the Lord is saying, I'm going to put sickness on you so that you can prove. I don't believe that. Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus come that you might have life. But he knew. See, he says this, John chapter 16, verse 33, I think, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Folks, we don't fail. Oh, I might fail at a thing or two, but the end result of living for God is always a success. He has caused me to triumph. Is life a few battles? Absolutely, pretty much every day. But I'm thankful that there is something inside of me so much greater than me. Oh, aren't you thankful for that? I'm not limited anymore as a believer because Jesus Christ is in me. Now I can do far above what Eric could do in himself. Saved people are led by the Spirit. You get it? You may not see it. You may not feel it. We don't walk by feeling. We walk by faith. If you are saved, if you have received Christ, he is leading you by his Spirit. Now, should we listen a little bit more? Absolutely. We need to take time, turn the world off, and listen for the Spirit of God to lead and guide us. But I wanted to let you know, saved people, Spirit-led people, number one, they know their identity. They know who they are. Do you know who you are today in Christ? They're invested in Dad's business. See, he said, we can call him Abba Father. What a privilege. You know, the disciples came to Jesus one day and they said, would you teach us to pray? Man, what a great prayer. What a great question, right? They didn't ask him to teach them how to preach, their, you know, how to share the gospel, how to heal the sick. They didn't ask any of that. But they saw something in Jesus that was so different than everybody else. And it was his prayer life. And they said, Jesus, can you teach us to pray like you prayed? All I want to do is draw your attention to the first line. He said, sure, I'll show you. He said, you start like this. our Father, which art in heaven. You know, the people of this world is trying to make what we have a religion. What we have is not a religion. Is there religious people out there? Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you call me religious, I'll say I'm not religious. I'm in a relationship. I call him Father. I'm his son. Daddy, if I have a need, I don't go to Jesus like I'm a beggar. I go to Jesus like I'm a son, like I'm the joint heir with Christ. Amen. And I don't mean that in arrogance anyway. But they know their identity. They're invested in their business. And number three, they have the authority to do business. Do you realize that Jesus has given us his authority to conduct the business, his business on this earth? Do you remember the prodigal son? The story of the prodigal son? When the son came back, the father ran to meet him. Right? Anxiously to meet him. And the boy started in his line, right? He had been rehearsing this line all the way home. When I get there, I'm just going to say, Dad, I'm not worthy to be your son. I'm just, count me as a servant. And basically, the father said, shut up. I don't want to hear that garbage. My boy, which was dead, is come home and is alive. And he says three very important things. He says, go get him shoes. Do you know slaves didn't wear shoes? Only sons wore shoes. I thank God that we have been given shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. God equips us with shoes. He said, bring him a robe. A robe showed that there was royalty. It showed the wealth of the family. Clothe him like a son, not like a servant. And then he said, now bring him a ring. You know what that ring was for? It was to do business. See, when they did business, they would heat some wax up. They would write their letter. They would fold that letter. They would put wax on the seal, and they would take that ring, and they would put their emblem into that ring so to show the identity to that family. Do you realize Jesus has given you a ring? It's the ring of authority to do business for the King. You got to get this. I'm going to preach it all over if you don't get it the first time. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6, and I'm closing. He says, when the fullness of time had come, if I could paraphrase that, I would say, at exactly the right moment in time, God sent his son. It wasn't a day early and it wasn't a day late. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, whereby you can cry out, Abba, Father. You know what that means? My daddy. I don't think there's any more preciousness in the Word of God than that verse right there. He took you out of religion with that one verse. He said, this is not about religion. This is about a relationship. Do you realize God is looking at you saying, I give you the right to call me dad. You know, I wouldn't fight a bear over many of you. But there's three boys and there's six grandchildren. There's three little girls and a woman here that I'd fight a bear for. And every one of them's got the last name Kelleher. You get that? If you're a dad in this place, you know all I'm saying is true. You'd give your life in a heartbeat for that child of yours. Mama, you know we often call you Mama Bear. Because you might be the smallest, little, tiniest thing on this earth until somebody gets a hold of your kid. And then all of a sudden, that little peaceful woman, a mama bear, comes out. You have robbed her of a cub, and she will tear your head off. Do you realize God is that protective over you? Do you call him daddy? You know, some people think that's disrespectful. I don't think it's disrespectful at all. I think he gave us the right there. you can call me Dad. You know, my kids don't call me Father. If they did, I wouldn't know who they should address. What are you talking about, Father? I ain't your father, I'm your daddy. Do you get that? You know, this James said, the Spirit of the Lord yearns intensely for a relationship with you. He says this in the King James, the Spirit of God is jealous for you. The Spirit of God is jealous. He is wooing us to come into the family of God. You're led by the Spirit of God because if you're saved, it wasn't yours. It was God pulling you to Him. I want to end one more statement I want you to think. The greatest form of theft today is identity theft. You know where that's where the mark of the beast is coming? You know, I've got a credit card right back here. And in this credit card, I won't pull it out, but I got a credit card and it's got a chip in it. And so nowadays, the credit card readers have a chip reader. So you put that in there, it reads the chip. It tells everything financially about you is on that chip. One day they're going to come up with this brilliant idea that people keep stealing your identity. So if we put this on your body, they won't be able to steal your identity anymore. And they're going to come up with a chip that has everything about you, and they're going to put it either in your right hand, don't you let them do it, or on your forehead. I'm prophesying here, right here. One of these days, people will go into the grocery store, to the markets, and the chip reader won't be down here. It will look at them eye to eye. And you know, nowadays, I don't even have to put my credit card in there. I just wave it in front of it, and it reads it. One day I'll just do this. No, I won't. People will just do this, or they'll let that scan their forehead, and it will. Why? Because of identity theft. The greatest theft in this world is not people stealing your car. It's stealing your identity. See, if they can get your identity, they got everything. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. But he has come that we might have life. Satan is not so much after your things. He's after your identity. Most Christians don't know what I'm telling you today. They don't know that they're sons of God. They're legally right to an inheritance from God. And that inheritance is right here and right now. As a son, you have been made partakers of the divine nature of God. There's a treasure in you, according to Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. I think it's 1 Corinthians. He said, I have placed this treasure in you. It's not about you, but it's Him, that the excellence of God will be seen in you. That treasure that He places in you is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God is within you to perform what you can't perform because you're a son. So my question for you, listen closely. Have you allowed Satan to steal your identity? Or do you know who you are? I promise you this. Getting to heaven is not about being naughty or nice. It's all about being His son. You see, I have three sons. A couple of them are mean as skunks. I mean, they've done really bad stuff in their life. But they're still my boys. Man, I love those kids. Lay my life down in a heartbeat for those kids. My love for my kids is minute compared to the love that God has for you. You got to get this. Don't let Satan steal who you are. You don't need 23andMe to figure this one out, because you got the word that says you're sons of God. Stand with me. I've been so excited to share this sermon with you. I really feel like the Lord just gave it to me. This sermon can change your life. But you're going to have to reach out in faith and lay hold of the promise of God. You're going to have to settle it in your mind. Because Satan's going to try you on this one. He's going to tell you, you're not a son. Come on. And you got to tell him, based on the word of God, I am a son of God. Why? Because I received him. Because I've been led by the Spirit of God. I believe, which means not only mentally accepting, but I'm obedient to what his word says. So when I read the Bible and it says, do not lie, and yet I love to lie, I have to stop lying and start doing what he says, speak the truth. Why? Because I'm obedient to the word. Does that make sense? No? Just a few people? Does it make sense? So you got to live obedient to the word. That's what it means to make him father. Would you bow your head? Close your eyes. I really want you to settle this once and for all in your life. Will you make him daddy? Will you receive Jesus as Lord? You see, if your heart feels like it's beating out of your chest right now, it's very likely that you need to surrender your life to Jesus. For those of you who have been walking in this life feeling like I'm just doing the best I can, I've got news for you. There's something better. It's let Jesus take control. Let's surrender your life once and for all. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you need to pray this with me, you pray it with me. And even if there's a little doubt in your heart, I wish that you would pray it with me. Jesus, I come before you today, and I'm a sinner. I'm in so much of need of a Savior. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you have been leading me when I did not even know it. I thank you, Lord, for the revelation today that's letting me know that I need to receive you as my Savior. I want the privilege of calling you Dad. I need a father. I need a father figure. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Become Lord and Master of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, you need to follow it up by letting me know, and let's scheduling a time of baptism for you very soon. For the rest of you, I hope that we've secured some things in your heart. I hope that when you leave today, you're thinking, my daddy is watching over me. My daddy has got it. He's in control. Doesn't life feel like it's out of control sometimes? But he's got you. He's got you. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Denny, would you come and dismiss us in prayer?
You know, as you look back on your life, you can see pivotal moments in your life where things change, where you think, okay, before this day, I was this way, and then this started a new chapter in my life. Salvation is one of those points. But I know for me, when I grasp the concept that this message was about today, when I understood my identity, that was another pivotal point. That's when another chapter in my life started. So I pray that somebody received that today and understood now who they're what their identity really is, because it totally changed your life. Don't forget to mark your calendar for March 13th for our 10-year anniversary. It's going to be a special time. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.